You know, I'd give a lot to know when, you know, when you pray for someone like that and the Holy Spirit takes over and begins to give you the utterance in the Spirit. I sure would like to know what's being prayed over these little ones. You know, some magnificent things take place at times just like this in lives, in individual lives. And oftentimes we don't know, you know, what has happened here today. It'll be many years before we'll see it probably in the lives of most of these young people who have been set apart for God's service. But I do know this. The Bible said that God is able to keep that which is committed unto Him. If you want God to keep your children, get your children committed unto the Lord. He is able to keep that which has been committed unto Him. And I know that He is able to keep these little ones that have been committed unto Him this morning. How many of you have your Bibles this morning? Psalm 127. I've been wanting to speak on this subject for some time, and this is just a good opportunity on the day that we dedicate children. This message is not only for those of you that have brought your children for dedication before the Lord today, but for every one of you that have children and really want to raise them in the way that God has laid out in His Holy Word. It also has to do for those of you who don't even have children, but are responsible for other people's children in one way or another. It's important for us, if we want God's good results in the lives of our children, that we follow God's good plan in bringing them up. If you plant a good garden and put good seed in it and fit the soil and fertilize it and fix it up real good and put good seed in it, but then never tend that garden, when you go back in September, do you know what you're going to have? It'll be all choked up with briars and thorns and ragweeds and all the rest of that stuff. And the good seed that you put in the ground because it wasn't cared for, because it wasn't looked after, is not going to produce the fruit that you desired when you put it in the ground. You must nurture the seed. You must look after it. In the 127th Psalm, the third verse, God declares Himself about your children and my children. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. He says, children are a heritage of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but did you ever wonder why, when God made Adam and Eve, He didn't make you? Have you ever wondered why, when God made the first man and the first woman, He didn't make all of the rest of the human race? When God created His man and His woman, He made only one of each. He made the man, He looked upon him and He said, it's perfect, it's very good. And from the man's rib He took, or from his body He took a rib and He made a woman. God could have, with a spoken word, created you on that same day. And with the spoken word, He could have created your children on that very same day. With one word, God Almighty could have created, on the day of creation, the whole human race. But He didn't do it. He said, here, Adam. Here, Eve. I want you to join with me in giving birth to the human race. I want you to be partners and co-workers with me in bringing my children into existence. When you as couples, men and wives, husbands and wives, come into physical union and cause conception to take place and birth happens, you are giving birth to one of God's children. The miracle of childbirth is more than just a physical, natural miracle. You are participating in the creative act of God in bringing the human race into existence. Now, I don't know if that says anything to you about the tremendous and beautiful love of God for you, that He would permit you to be co-workers with Him in giving birth to His own children. That's why He can say here, lo, children are a heritage of God. They're a gift from God. They're given by God. I know that I was a gift to my mother and father. My sons are a gift to me and to my wife. They don't belong to me or to her. They belong to Him. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Now, if God has given them unto us as a heritage, then He obviously has some kind of plan for us in raising them. If they truly belong to Him, He likely in His Word would have something to say about how we would want them raised. Suppose you took your natural born child, gave him to someone else to raise for you, do you think you would want to be concerned about how he would be raised? Do you think you'd want to have something to say about the kind of home that he would be brought up in? Do you think you'd have a plan for his life that would be orderly and would be beneficial and would be profitable and blessed for him? Of course you would. Same with God our Father. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and we begin to see a portion of it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God is talking to the children of Israel after they're in the land. Or just as they're coming into the land, rather, before they've gone into the land. This is His people. God speaking to His people, and He's speaking to us today also as His people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, that's the 5th book of the Old Testament. The 4th verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He said you should teach diligently them unto your children. What's the them? Teach them diligently unto thy children. The them is in verse 6. These words which I command thee this day. What are the words that he commanded thee this day? That's in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. What did God say that we were to teach our children? To love the Lord God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all of their mind. And he said that you're to teach your children, we are to teach our children diligently. Not just to mention it on Christmas and Easter, but to teach them diligently, day by day, the same way that we teach them how to brush their teeth, the same way that we teach them how to tie their shoes, the same way we teach them how to clean behind their ears, the same way we teach our daughters how to comb their hair, the same way we teach our boys how to keep their fingernails clean. We are to teach them diligently to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. That's God's enjoinder. Diligently teach them these words. Unfortunately, in many Christian families, the only time a child will ever hear this is once in a while in Sunday school, perhaps. Maybe in church once in a while. God said, "You shall talk about these things." What things? About the love of God. About His power. About His workings, the fact that He is one God, the fact that He is King of the universe. You should talk about those kinds of things when? On Sundays? When you sit in your house. Instead of worrying about what's on television at 9 o'clock, how about what Moses did with God's help at the Red Sea? Instead of being concerned about what's going on at downtown at the market, how about what Jesus did at the pool at Bethesda? When you're sitting in your house, talk diligently and teach unto your children these things. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That pretty well covers it, doesn't it? That doesn't leave much time for much of anything else, does it? He says, teach diligently your children the things of God. Is it any wonder that the children in the church today, not this church, bless God, not this church, bless God, but in the Christian church as a whole, is it any wonder that the children in the churches today grow up and be 14 or 15 and they're too smart to have their parents' religion? That they don't care anything about what their parents believe in? Because the parents, day by day, week by week, have been more interested in the things of the world than they have in the things of God? Teach them diligently, he said. Talk about them all the time. The words of God should be spilling out of your lips all the time. Teach them diligently. Now look over in the 20th verse of that same chapter. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? What's all this about, Dad? What's all this about, Father? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. We should say to our son, son, I was a sinner, but God by his grace lifted me out of a cesspool and set me up on the high rock and changed my life. Son, I was a bondman to the devil all my life until such and such a day when I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I put my trust and faith in him. He, by the grace of God, delivered me out of the kingdom of darkness and set me into the kingdom of light. And praise God, I know where I'm going. How many of you have shared your testimony? Don't raise your hands. But how many of you have shared your testimony with your children? How many of you have told your children, one-to-one, how you met the Lord Jesus Christ and what he means to you and what he's done in your life? And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. In other words, the good things we have today are because of the grace of God and the way he's preserved us. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. It's important that we live a godly example before our children and that we be willing to give testimony before our children. That we be willing to testify to the glory of God and his power and his love in our lives in the home. And if we're not willing to do that, how can we expect our children to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Bible says we are to teach our children diligently. The Word of God says that we are to give them a godly example and to give them our testimony continually as they ask. Why are we different from other people, Mom? Why are we different? Why do you and Dad always pray? Why do you talk in that funny language, Dad? What is that? Take advantage of the inquisitive nature of the little one to share the good things of God, no matter how old they are or how young. In the book of Proverbs, I want to share a few scriptures. If you have your pencil, I think you want to take some of these down. In the book of Proverbs, we're going to begin at the 22nd chapter, the 6th verse. We see as many of these as the Lord will allow us to do. Proverbs 22, verse 6. This is the best book I know about raising children, the Word of God, but especially the book of Proverbs. And I want to talk with you out of God's Word just briefly this morning, and I don't know that we're going to have to expound on it very much because God's Word is very clear and very direct and very distinct about the matter of child discipline. The Bible doesn't shilly-shally around about child discipline. How many of you have ever heard the scripture verse, spare the rod, spoil the child? Let me see your hands. I want you to know that's not a scripture verse. That's not out of God's Word. That's true, but it's not out of God's Word. We're going to show you where it comes from today, but it's even more powerful than that. Proverbs chapter 22, this is where we're going to start. Verse 6. Now remember, we're just reading the scripture here. I'm not making something up for you, all right? I'm not giving you something that I've learned from all my vast years of experience. I'm not sharing with you something that I've proven in the furnace of reality. See? I'm not giving you all what I've learned in all my college courses. What I'm going to give you this morning is God's Word. You receive it as the Word of God. And I don't stand behind this Word to honor it. God Almighty stands behind it to honor it. And if you will do what He says to do, you will get the results He promised you you'd get. He guarantees it to you, not me. See, I don't have the power to do that, but He does. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child. God Almighty speaking. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now let's think about that for just a minute. Train a child in the proper way. Raise him up from when he's young in the right way, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It is also true that if you raise up the child in the wrong way, when he is old, he'll not depart from that either. As the child grows, you've heard the old saw, this is not a Bible verse either. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. How many of you have heard that? As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. All right, that's not Bible, but it's true. It's from the reality of life. The way that you train up your child is the way that he's going to go. If you want your child to amount to something in life, you have the right and the opportunity to influence that when he's young. I don't know how many folks that I have opportunity to witness to, sinners now I'm talking about, people that do not know the Lord, people that don't know Jesus Christ. But time after time after time after time after time, as I share with those people, I'll find out that there was a godly mother, or there was a godly father, or there was a godly grandmother that lived an example, that talked to that boy about the Lord Jesus Christ, that prayed for him. I'll find out that there was a Sunday school background he had. I'll find out that he was brought up in the church. He knew something about the Bible and about the Word of God. He recognized the existence of God and that Jesus Christ was his own son. And he may not be saved yet, but at least he knows what is the truth. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a promise of Almighty God. And this you can stand upon for your children. Now turn over to the 19th chapter. The 18th verse. And God tells us something about training. It's more than just teaching. It also involves chastening or discipline. Chasten thy son while there is hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. You ever try to whip a 20-year-old? You ever try to whip a 19-year-old? I praise God I haven't had to try to whip my 19-year-old, because when he was 5 years old, I did. And when he was 6 years old, I did. When he was 7 years old, I did. And when he was 15 years old, I didn't have to. If you know anything about horses, you know that horses are big and they are powerful. But when do you start to train a horse? When he's 2,000 pounds and 8 years old and already set in his ways? You can't hold him. You can't hold him. He'll kill you. He'll kill you. He'll destroy you. You begin to train that horse when he's this big. When you get your arms around him and hold him down, see, so he can't move. And while you've got him held down, you stroke him and you love him and you scratch him, you see, and you make him feel real good, and then you slip a halter on his head. And then you begin to lead him around, you see. And he begins to find out that you're okay. And then when he's 2,000 pounds, you say, come on, Jack. Then he just follows you right along behind. He does what he's supposed to do. Well, it's the same way with the little ones, you see. Chasten him while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, I'm not going to comment on that until we get to another verse. Turn to the 23rd chapter, the 13th verse. Now, this is a good one. There are many. Please understand this. I would rather a child could go through his whole life without ever getting the strap. I'd rather that would be the case. But I don't know if I've ever seen a child that didn't need the strap at least once or twice while he was growing up. And I want to talk a little bit about that too, about why that is. But in years gone past, I guess in the last 15 or 20 years, there's been a move afoot in our country to allow our children to do their own thing. Just let them do whatever they want. If you discipline them, if you hold them too tight, you're going to warp them. The age of permissiveness, you see. Some of you were raised in that. Some of your brothers and sisters were raised in that. Some of you that have older children may have raised your children in that kind of a thing. Age of permissiveness. The psychologists all said that you'd destroy your child's psyche if you ever whipped him. That you'd destroy the child's self-image if you ever disciplined him or gave him a sharp word. Don't ever tell your child no. Just let him go on and find out for himself. And so what do we find out? We find out that the kids, the boys and the girls, were living together from age 13 up in the Haight-Ashbury district in San Francisco and in every city in the United States of any size at all. All of the young men and all of the young women were living together, sleeping together, smoking grass, killing... You get the picture. You get the picture. Never say no. Allow them to learn for themselves. God says this, verse 13, withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. No matter how hard he cries, he'll not die. Now, I'm not talking about child abuse, people. I'm not talking about stupidity. I'm not talking about vendettas. I'm not talking about anger. I'm talking about discipline and chastening. Do you understand the difference? Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now get this next verse. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his eternal soul out of hell. Now, why is that? That really sounds strange. How can you get a boy into heaven by beating on him with a rod? How can you keep him out of hell by giving him a whipping? I keep saying boys. This goes for girls, too. You know, sometimes they need it. Doesn't make any sense, does it? That doesn't make any sense. But let me tell you about how some of our children are being raised. When a child is first born, the first thing he learns to do is to cry. He learns how to make noise in order to get something which he wants. The more he cries, the more attention he normally gets. That's okay for a little one. That's okay for a little one like our brother and sister brought here earlier. We expect that. But when they get this big, and they say, I want, I want, I want, That's not okay. That is not okay. That is not okay. And if you as a parent respond to that kind of pressure and permit a tyrant to grow up in your home and permit a child to tyrannize you and your husband, his brothers and sisters, his aunts and uncles, the nursery workers in the church, the teachers down at the school, you are raising a child. It's going to be very, very difficult for the Holy Spirit of God to ever crack that heart. When you permit the child to scream and to carry on in order to get his own way, when he begins to scream in the church and you take him out, if you don't redden up his backside when you get him out, you've missed it. Now I'm going to tell you why. Because he knows that every time he gets a little uncomfortable in the seat, he can make a little noise and mama's going to take him out. That's what he wanted in the first place. And this is what you're teaching your child. It is more blessed to scream and pitch a fit than it is to sit quietly in church. It is more blessed to holler and yammer than it is to put a lid on my own personal desires. Now, what does it mean to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and meet Him as Savior? There's only one way that you can come to Jesus Christ as Savior, and that is humbly bowing before Him, denying yourself and denying your desires. Jesus said, "He that would be first shall be last, but he that is last will be first." If you raise your child with this attitude, "I want what I want and I'm going to have it," if you raise your child with that attitude, it's going to be very difficult for the Spirit of God to convince that boy or that girl that he ought to deny himself and take up the cross of Jesus Christ and follow Him. If you want your little boy and your little girl to take up the cross of Jesus Christ and follow Him, then teach him to deny himself now. Teach him how to submit to authority now. Teach him the authority of a loving earthly father and a loving earthly mother. Teach him the discipline and the chastening of a parent that loves him, so that when he meets his heavenly Father, he'll understand what he's like. Now, some of you may not understand this and may not even agree with this, but I'm going to tell you that the devil is at work in the homes of many Christians through the children, through the little ones. Now you say, "But Vic, how can it be? They're so cute. They're so beautiful. They're so lovely. Here, you took them and cradled them in your arms. How could the devil be working through those little ones? The devil doesn't trouble little kids." Oh, doesn't he? Oh, doesn't he really? Turn to the book of Mark. I'll show you something. Mark, the 10th chapter. Oh, the devil wouldn't take advantage of a little child. Oh, the devil wouldn't trouble a little one that couldn't defend himself. Don't you kid yourself. Mark chapter 9. This is the story beginning in the 14th verse about the man that had the little boy, or had the boy, it says, who was troubled with a dumb spirit. Let's just read this passage. I think it'll be helpful and help you see something. And verse 14. "And when he," that is Jesus, "came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit.'" All right, an evil spirit had demonized this boy. "And wheresoever he taketh him," that is the spirit taketh the boy, "he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away." The boy would fall. He would go into a seizure and into a fit. He would foam at his mouth. The spirit would tear him. He would grind and gnash his teeth. And I spake to thy, and he would whine and wail. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he, that is Jesus, answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. That demon rose up in him and grabbed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. Now here is Jesus, and here's this young boy. And as he came to him, when the demon spirit that was in the boy saw the Lord Jesus Christ and recognized him, he tore the boy and threw him on the ground, foaming at the mouth. Now this is it. Verse 21. And he, that is Jesus, asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. He said, ever since my boy has been a child, ever since he's been small, this demon has tormented him. And if you don't know what's happening in your own home, it is possible for the enemy to gain entrance into your home and to trouble you and to torment you through your own children. Now, some of you may not like that, but I'd rather that you know the truth so that you can do something about it. And you say, oh, well, that devil is not very nice. I'll tell you, he's not very nice. He'd like to destroy you and your kids with you. And he'll do it if you'll let him. I'm not going to let him take my kids or me. He'll not have them. They belong to God. And I'll not let him have these ones that were here either this morning. He'll not. He'll just not. Now, when you permit your children, you see, when you withhold correction from them, when you try to talk to, oh, Johnny, you shouldn't have done that, you know, you shouldn't have hit your sister with that sharp glass. You shouldn't have knocked your brother down against the table like that. Don't you know he'll be hurt? Yeah. Yeah, I know it hurt him. I'm sorry, Mom. If you withhold correction from your child in that kind of a circumstance, you are saying, in effect, devil, come on. Come on, have your way with it. Do what you want with it. Go on, continue to bind him and destroy him. The Word of God says, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die, and thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. I praise God. Those of you that know me know that I have been in the past a stubborn kind of a, impatient kind of a, stupid kind of a jerk, really, you know, when you get right down to it. I mean, wanting his own way, strong-minded, strong-willed, and strong opinion, very opinionated, and stubborn. Well, praise God, I'm not like that anymore. I'm speaking that by faith, based on God's Word. But I want you to know this. I grew up with a father that when I needed the stick, he did not hesitate to let me have what was due me. I came to love my father, not necessarily only because of his discipline, but he showed his love to me through his discipline, one of the ways he showed it to me. He cared enough about me and my life and what I would amount to and what I would turn into that he would risk my glaring at him. He would risk my saying, I hate you. He would risk my falling out of love and fellowship with him. He'd risk all of that because he knew that I'd done wrong and I needed to be disciplined. I praise God for that, because knowing the kind of a personality I am, my earthly father, had not disciplined me all the while I was growing up, I'd sure be tearing the world apart today. And I praise my heavenly Father for his discipline also, and for his chastening, to not let me run off and do my own thing. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? Don't withhold the correction from your child. You're not going to kill him when you beat him with the belt. I understand you're not to abuse him, but yeah, I think you get the message. Turn to the 29th chapter now of the book of Proverbs. We'll look at two or three more scriptures. I know the hour's late, but this is important. I haven't had an opportunity to preach on it for about 15 months, and so I'm going to finish it. Chapter 29, verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. If you'll correct your child when he needs correction, when he grows, he'll give delight unto you and he'll give you rest. You'll never have to be embarrassed for your children. You'll never have to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering what bar he's in. You won't have to wonder about what back seat your daughter is in. She'll give you rest. Correct your child while they're young, and they'll give you rest, give you delight unto your soul. Verse 15 in the same chapter. The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And how many mothers I know and you know who have cried themselves to sleep night after night after night because of a wandering child? He says, the rod gives wisdom, reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to do his own thing. Now, you can believe the psychologist if you want to, and don't ever correct your child. You can take all of the ceramic things out of your living room and put them up because your child can't keep his hands off them, or you can teach your child what's no. You understand what I'm saying? You can teach your child to respect things at a very early age when they're crawling. But if you say, no, I won't discipline my child, I'll let him do what he wants and leave him to himself, you can be sure that you will get this reward, shame unto you as a mother. Now turn back to the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, the 15th verse. This book's full of good help, isn't it? 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And then over in the 13th chapter, the 24th verse. Now this one I want you to get a hold of. If you are not accustomed to disciplining your children, this one is going to hurt you. But if you will heed its advice, it'll bless you. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. That's pretty specific, isn't it? He that will not use discipline, he that spares the rod of correction, hates his son. That's heavy, isn't it? I praise God I didn't say that. I'm glad he said it. It is not evidence of your love to withhold discipline. It is evidence that you don't care if you withhold it. God says you hate your child if you will not chasten him. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That means not every day, not every week, but as the time requires. He that loves his son chastens him. Now I want to show you that God is serious about this business of discipline. Turn back to the 21st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy.